Of course, Torah study day. Granted, I'm only going to stick to the Torah for the most part because, well, most has been covered like 3 times already. So I'm going to discuss a common happy topic. Something we don't have to discuss every year, but we do it anyway just because it refreshes our memory and keeps us in tune when we have to talk to people or family members. It just refreshes us. Oh, yes, that's right. That's the reason I believe X, Y, Z. And so that's what we're talking about today. It happens to be the birth of Messiah. I covered this last year and probably the year before that and probably cover it next year and the year after that. But it's pretty straightforward and simple. How many of you know the Bible says when the Messiah was born? You know, we always have to always say, oh, yeah, he was born in December, or no, he was born this month or that month. No, the Bible tells you when he was born, approximately. Right? How many of you know that? No, most probably don't. Why? Because if you knew it, that means the whole world would know it. What would they do if the whole world knew the date he was born? The same thing they did with December 25th. Commercialize the daylights out of it, make it indistinguishable. You could not identify who was born that day, because what are you thinking about? Well, gifts, presents, trees, and Santa Claus. That's pretty much it, in a nutshell. Yeah, you have old family members and old dinners. Yeah, no, those are secondary little minor things. Reality is, it's, you know, it's presents, it's gifts, it's trees, and it's Santa Claus. That's really what it is. The minor, oh, yeah, well, we'll pretend and we'll honor God that day. That, whatever. That's your own personal choice. It has nothing to do with what the day is about. Well, the Bible doesn't give you the exact day of the week, for that matter. It does not give you the date of the month. All it gives you is about a month and a half window. It says he was born sometime between this point and sometime before that point. That's all. Why? Because what I just told you. If you knew what day, then everyone would know what day, and everyone would be celebrating the same thing and commercialize the daylights out of it. God thought in advance. So this is not what he wanted. So he hid that day. Why? Why was it important for him not to hide that day? Because it doesn't matter. That's why. If it mattered, he may quite well know, just like we know the day he died. Because that's what mattered. His birthday doesn't matter. What did Christ do on his birthday? Got born. Now realize, that's traumatic for most infants. I don't know. It's traumatic for the mothers more so. But actually, he didn't do anything beyond that. There's no action. He didn't save mankind the day he was born. He didn't heal anyone the day he was born. He didn't do squat except be born. That's why it doesn't matter. But we discuss it anyway just because it's fun. So, this is quite a bit of reading, but hopefully I'll go through it rather quickly. Luke chapter 1. As we go through this chapter, actually Luke, the first few verses, tells us everything we ever needed to know about the date or near the time when Messiah was born. You read both the first two chapters complete, then you have more accurate, complete information, but you don't gain anything more. Luke 1 verse 1. Inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set the order of a narrative of those things which are most surely believed among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed. By the way, Luke is recording almost everything from the eye point or viewpoint of Peter, with the exception of this few verses here, which is more of his own writing. There was, verse 5, in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving, referring to Zacharias, was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell on him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. You shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn away many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you, bringing you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute, and not be able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." And the people waited for Zacharias, and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. And so it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among men." We'll stop there for a second. What information did we gain from this part of the chapter so far? Who was Zacharias? Was he the high priest? No. He was a priest, but not the high priest. Certain order. What order was that? Abijah or Abijah, however you wish to pronounce it. What does that mean? What is order of Abijah? Do you recall? It's not the Torah. Correct. Abijah was one of the groups that they had certain orders. They had designated time slots that they were to serve. Does anybody recall what order he was in? Yes. Say it again. The priests, all the priests, had to light incense every day, actually twice a day, according to the Torah. So it doesn't matter what day that happens to be. But that's one of the things that Zacharias was assigned to do that particular day. There are a lot of other things that happens too. They have to light the lamps, they have to trim them, there are various daily sacrifices that occur. He doesn't do all of those. He does one task, which is the incense lighting. You have another priest there doing the various daily sacrifices. You have other priests who are maintaining the bread and the wine and everything. All of the details, they have various people serving this big temple. So Abijah is a time slot, by the way. Matter of fact, he has two designated time slots in a given year. Is this in the Torah anywhere? No, it's not. Nowhere in the Torah does it say a priest only serves a certain portion of the year. He serves all year round. But what happened? Why is Zacharias part of a section, part of a time slot that is broken up like this? Yes, it is from the time of David. What happened in the time of David? We're going to read there in a minute. But what happened?
A lot of descendants, and they designated certain time slots so that everybody would have a chance to serve.
Yes, they did. Right? Now, keep in mind that also during the time of David, there was a transition occurring. Up to this point, all the temple service occurred in a fabric enclosure. For the most part, it was fabric enclosure. The house, various other items there as well, but there was no temple, like as we think of the temple. Because God said David wasn't allowed to build it. He was too bloody of a person. Solomon's the one who built. We all hear of Solomon's temple, called the wonders of the Middle East, one of the wonders of the Middle East. So such large was its expanse and design that it took a generation almost to build. Solomon had such a big temple, and by the way, David designed it. So Solomon's such a big temple, and David knew ahead of time, toward the end of his years, he wasn't going to be around, but the temple required too many priests to do anything with. Like, no one priest could handle the service required all year round. Why not? Well, he would never see his family. He would never have children, and the priesthood would die off. There's an inherent problem here. If the priesthood dies, guess what? Aaron's line dies. You can't have that. So that defeats the purpose. Well, not say this is the only motive, but one of the advantages that David saw and said, okay, we're making such a huge temple and designed for millions of people to show up annually, not all at once, naturally, but I mean, throughout a year, many millions of people will come and go. You need more than one person doing it. You need more than just one or two people doing it. And one other problem David had, at this point, how many children did Aaron's line produce by the time David showed up on the scene, or was actually toward the end of his life? It's like 30 heads of household. 30 people eligible for the high priestship. 30 males. Which one serves? Who gets to be high priest? If there are 30 equal people all eligible for it, who gets to be high priest? Take turns. You start taking turns, is what winds up happening, is that you don't have one high priest doing everything anymore because all of them are eligible. And God didn't say, oh, well, it's only the oldest person of Aaron's line that will be high priest. He said, no. All the descendants of Aaron are eligible for high priesthood. If one dies, the next one up takes over. If one gets too ill or becomes maimed or breaks a leg or an arm or a foot or whatever, the next person in line is eligible. If someone becomes unclean that particular day, which happens quite easily if you're a high priest, you can go unclean like that and not even know it. Just bam, crud, I'm done for the day. Somebody else got to take your job. So they have a lot of high priests, and they all transition as required and as needed. We'll discuss a few of them, a few of the rules they had. But anyway, so far what we've learned in the first part of chapter 1 of Luke was Zacharias is of Abijah. What is Abijah, exactly? Line of Abijah, the division of Abijah. Well, let's go to where actually David did the job. First Chronicles, chapter 24. Let's find out what exactly Zacharias was doing. Because you find out what he's doing, then you find out when he's doing it. Find out what time of year he's doing it. You have a general idea of when Gabriel showed up to him. This could actually be extended out, honestly, to include all of chapter 22 and 23, 24, and 25. It's a lot of organization for the priesthood that David and the current high priest at that time, and I believe one of the leaders, of the priests of the Levites, where they were all three of them got together and they cast lots. That means they took a year and divided it up. Into 24 equal parts. And 4 weeks. For high days, holy days. That's that in a minute. Chapter 24, verse 1. Now these are the divisions of the son of Aaron. The sons of Aaron were Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, Itamar. Nadab and Abihu died before their father and had no children. Therefore, Eleazar and Itamar ministered as priests. Then David, this was a many, many hundred years prior to David. Now, jump for about 500 years. Then David with Zadok, the sons of Eleazar, and Ahimelech, the sons of Itamar, divided them according to the schedule of their service. Now there were more leaders found amongst the sons of Eleazar than the sons of Itamar, and thus they were divided. Among the sons of Eleazar, there were 16 heads of their father's houses, and 8 heads of their father's houses among the sons of Itamar. Thus they were divided by lot, one group as another. But there were officials of the sanctuary, and officials of the house of God, and the sons of Eleazar, and the sons of Itamar. And the scribe, Shimei, the son of Nethaneel, one of the Levites, wrote them down before the king and the elder and the leaders. Zadok, the priest, and Ahimelech, the son of Abithar, and the heads of the father's houses of the priests and Levites, one father's house taken for Eleazar and one for Itamar. Verse 7. Now the first lot fell to Jehoiarib. The second lot fell to Jedai. The third to Harim. The fourth to Seorim. The fifth to Malchiah. The sixth to Mijaim. The seventh to Hakoz. The eighth to Abijah. The ninth to Yeshua. The tenth to Shekinah. The 11th to Elishib. The 12th to Jachin. The 13th to Huppah. The 14th to Yeshibib. The 15th to Bilgah. The 16th to Emir. The 17th to Hazir. The 18th to Habiziz. The 19th to Pethahiah. The 20th to Jezekiel. The 21st to Jachin. The 22nd to Gamul. The 23rd to Deliah, the 24th to Mazai. This was the schedule of their service for coming into the house of the Lord according to their ordinance by the hand of Aaron, their father, as the Lord God of Israel commanded him. We'll stop there for a moment. That's a boring little list. What does it mean? Basically, year of priest's service is 1 year, a cycle. And they repeat themselves year after year after year. It's the same exact cycle. It's called a year. They had 24 people they had to divide that year up amongst. So it took a year, divided by 24. What does that mean? Well, it's a little bit over 2 weeks. Not just 2 weeks, because what happens on holy days? Keep in mind, if one line, if one priesthood, and by the time Zechariah shows up, you probably have maybe 4 or 5 other priests serving there. You have, let's just say, 800,000 Israelites showing up on a holy day. Let's say, for example, Passover. They're showing up in Jerusalem. 5 men. Do you think those 5 men will have the ability to slaughter enough lambs within about a 3-hour period for 800,000 human beings? It's a joke. Of course they couldn't. Half the priesthood, how altogether, couldn't do that. So what did they do? Well, actually it was quite simple. They thought about that ahead of time. In practice, after Solomon built the temple, what they did is when the high days showed up, it wasn't one family or one division. All the priesthood would work on the high days. Everybody would. They'd all be there. The rest of the weeks, the rest of the year, no, it's whoever division it happened to land on. You want to guess how they started the division? Well, let's try how we would start it. Okay, we would do it the first day of year, the first day of the year, then continue on and start breaking up that way. So, the very first lot, which this would be to Jehoiarib, and it's broken up into 2 weeks. Do they serve both weeks back to back? No. They serve 1 week. Then the next lot shows up, and they serve 1 week. And they continue on that. So each individual division will serve 2 weeks, opposite sides of the year. They'll be opposite sides. One's the beginning, one's the midway section. circle, as well as all the individual high days they all serve. That's the normal way which most of us would break it up to. It makes logical sense. So we have Jehareb. We got the first lot. So what did he serve? What division was he? It would be the first week of the year, which is basically starts 2 weeks before Passover. He serves that week. But a lot of stuff happens there. You have a new moon. You have the first of the year. So he has a lot of activity the first day of his service. When his service is complete that first week, who comes up after him? Well, the next guy, Jediah. He serves week two. Now, he has a lot of activity the last day of his service, because that's the 14th day of the month. Passover is that night. So, become the 14th, a whole lot of priests are showing up. Everybody's getting involved in this. And they're there for how long? Is it just one night? Just Passover night? No, it's a whole week, 7 days. All the priesthood serves week number three, because that incorporates all of Passover. So that is not part, week number three is not part of this division of these 24 weeks. Because we already know there are 52 weeks in a year. You divide 52, you get 26, and he only has 24 people. So we know there's four extra weeks somewhere in there, which is kind of funny. Well, Passover is week one. That's one of those four extra weeks. What happens in the fourth week? Well, whoever got lot number three, which in this case was Harim. He served the week after Passover. Well, what happens during his week? Well, he has first fruits are going to fall in that week. He has, let's see, what else happens in his week? I think that's the primary thing that happens during his week. It's the tail end of Passover, which really, or Native Unleavened Bread, which has a lot of activity going on. But he had already served the week before as well. So, number three, the Harim, he actually served 2 weeks back to back. He served Passover week, as all priests did, and then he served his week. Just like the one before him, but number two was Jedi. He served week number two and all of Passover week. He served 2 weeks back to back. Then he went home. He went home until, for his cycle, until the next high day. And he would keep going home and going back and forth on all the high days. And then when he has his 1 week service coming in 6 months later, roughly 6 to 7 months later, he serves his week again. That's their cycle. It's a never ending cycle. So, as we go through this process, we have the eighth week, Abijah, which is what we're actually interested in. Zacharias was part of Abijah's week. Now, as I said before, they all serve 2 weeks out of a year, broken up. One's half, they're half a year apart from one another, opposite sides of the year. He serves Abijah's week. So which end is he serving? When Zacharias shows up, is he serving the one that shows up on the ninth week? He's number eight, because Passover is number three, so you can't, they start losing track of number. Or was he showing up his service in December, roughly, what we call December? You do either one. 50-50 shot. It could be either one he's serving. Jewish tradition tells us actually where he was doing it. But the point is, as we're going through this, David broke this section up in through all these 24 individual people. So let's go back to Luke, verse 26. Now in the sixth month, this is not the sixth month of the year, this is the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. It explains it later. The angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting was this. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus or Yeshua. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom, there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know man?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren." Gabriel just identified that he was 6 months after Elizabeth conceived. "For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. We'll stop there for a moment. We already know, according to the rest of the story, that who does Elizabeth give birth to? John the Baptist. He's a Levite. He's also happened to be a prophet. Go figure. It's rare that happens. Levites and prophets don't usually happen too often, but John the Baptist happened to be one of them. I believe Samuel was the other one that I know of. So John the Baptist was a Levite and a prophet. He is of some given age. We don't know yet when he's born yet. We do know his father served in the temple during the division of Abijah, which is 2 times a year. He was during in that service. He was doing the incense, right? Now, as mentioned before, the incense is done 2 times a day. It's done early in the morning when they trim the lights in the candlestick to diminish them down or shut them off. And it's done roughly 3 o'clock in the afternoon, between 2 evenings, when they fire the candles back up again. It's about an hour and a half each time the incense burns. I won't go into too much detail. So, when the angel came to Zacharias, and he was finished his little incense burning, did he go home and say, "Woohoo, honey, guess what?" He can't. Because of the time when he's serving. You see, Zacharias' lot, which was Abijah, what time of year does that actually fall? The first half of it. Well, let's see. If he's number 8, he's number 8, what week would be number 8 fall on? If you're breaking the year off, it would be the 9th week, because Passover was number 3, which is not part of the division. So what's going on in the 9th week? Well, 9th week, actually nothing happened. It's really kind of boring. The 10th week, however, that's Pentecost. So what's he actually doing? He's, right now it says, he is literally discussing, he's in the middle of doing his division work, which means he's prior to the 10th week, or he's on the other side of the year. We don't know which one yet. We'll find out later which one. But he's always on the other side of the year. One or the other. No one knows. It could be in either in November. December. Sorry, be December. He's either serving his 1 week in December, or he's serving his 1 plus 1 in June, because he has his week, and then Pentecost the following week, and all the priests come up on Pentecost, because it's a big production for one little group to do. So they don't have one group do it. Everybody does it on that week. So he actually has either 2 weeks in June or the 1 week in December that he's serving. So why doesn't he just go home? You know, yeah, I do my little service for the day, go home that night, you know, sleep with my wife, have a baby, come back. It could happen, right? Anytime, right? No, actually it can't. He's a priest. Priests aren't allowed to sleep with their wives. Father in service makes them unclean up until evening time. So that's not allowed. So he's not allowed to see his wife. He's not allowed to touch her. He can see from a distance, but he can't touch her. He can probably talk to her too if he wanted to. But he cannot sleep with her, so we know that he did not, or she did not conceive during his time of service. It had to be some point in time afterward. Like I said, either in December or June. We don't know which one yet. If he is blessed by Gabriel to have a son, normally in times past, the Torah, when an angel comes to someone and says, you're going to have a child, and they say it's in the time of life that you'll have a child. What does time of life mean? It's exactly 1 year. It's not 9 months. It's 1 year. Notice what Gabriel didn't say. He didn't say in the time of life. So he wasn't telling Zacharias it would be 1 year from now when you have a child, as he did with Abraham. One of the individuals, I can't think of the name off the top of my head. It's in 2 Kings. Time of life is 1 year. Having a child is 9 months, roughly. 40 weeks, 9 months, whatever. There are differences. When God's going to bless you, a year from now you will have a child, at least in times past, the only two other examples he's ever done this, he said, in the time of life you have a child. And it was exactly 1 year later that individual had a child. In Zacharias' case, it was not. So it's not a year later that he has a child. It's earlier than a year. So Zacharias, part of Abijah's line, part of the division, he's either serving in June or December, and Gabriel comes and visits him. 6 months later, he visits Mary. Well, and 6 months later, he comes to Mary and says, well, you're going to have a child, and of course, then we don't read the whole story. Mary goes and visits Elizabeth for the remaining of her 3 months until she gives birth. Then Mary goes home. And of course, Zacharias, he's been muted this whole time. What does he do? Once he's circumcised, John is in, he's named actually the moment before he's circumcised, and Zacharias can speak again. The Messiah, the same story. It wasn't a speaking issue, but he was named the moment he was circumcised. That's when boys are supposed to get their names, is when they're circumcised. I'm going to move on to chapter 2 of Luke. I'm not going to go through all the praising and glorying of God. I mean, yes, it's wonderful, but for the sake of time, it's not important at the moment. And it came to pass in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while the Quirinus was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn, her first son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a feeding trough or manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring to you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you in this day, city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a feeding trough." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, the angels had gone away from them to heaven. The shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem, see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary, Joseph, and the Messiah lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told to them, "This child," and all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all things that they'd heard, seen, as it was told to them. Why did I read that? What does it tell you about time of year? Anything? It tells you shepherds were in the field, doesn't it? When are shepherds in the field around Bethlehem? During feast times, that is true. Two particular feast times, They're in the field around Bethlehem. Passover and Shavuot. Not in the wintertime. And they can't in the summertime because there's no grass growing in summertime. Sukkot, sorry. I'm sorry. I apologize. Let's say Sukkot. My word's mixed up. Sorry. Passover and Sukkot. Spring and fall. That's when they're in around Bethlehem. Yeah, exactly. Sukkot, 14 lambs a day. That's a lot. There are a lot of shepherds there. And guess in Passover. And everybody's coming with money to buy lambs for Passover. What are they going to be? All the shepherds say, get our lambs in so all these foreigners who are traveling, not foreigners, just distant travelers, who are traveling can buy our lambs. So yeah, they're going to show up in Passover time, make lots of money. They show up during Sukkot and make lots of money. That's what they're there for. So yeah, that's when they're going to show up. And that's when there's food written around Bethlehem, both times. So what does that tell us? It was either Passover time or Sukkot time. Not the dead of winter, not the heat of summer. Because they're not there. Shepherds aren't around at those times. So we've narrowed down the Messiah being born sometime during spring or sometime during fall. But which is it? Because Zacharias serves in June and December, so it could be either one. If Zacharias serves in June, and presuming Elizabeth is pregnant or conceived sometime within a month after his service ends, that brings John the Baptist, who is 6 months older, born at Passover. Messiah born then, 6 months later, Sukkot. If, instead, he's serving in December, that makes John the Baptist born in Sukkot and Messiah born at Passover. As far as we know so far, that's all the data we've got. It's one or the other. There is one more detail that narrows it down for us. Almost finished. It shouldn't take too long. What did Gabriel actually tell Zacharias regarding his son? The power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and make ready a people prepared for the Lord. What does that mean? When do we open our doors and say, look for Elijah? Passover. Why is that? There's some stupid Jewish tradition. He doesn't show up yet. You know, I keep opening the door. He still hasn't there yet. Doesn't mean he won't. It's just some silly Jewish tradition. They just have to choose Passover. They could have chosen Passover or Shavuot or any day of the week. But they just have to choose Passover. No, they didn't happen to choose Passover. It has to do with who Elijah was, what his job was, that requires him to show up at Passover. What does it mean to make straight the ways, the paths to the Lord? What does it mean? What was that? Clear the way, is that what you said? That is true. It's one of the, that is, it does mean clear the way. Deal with sin, that's one of them. What does it mean physically to a Jewish person who doesn't believe in the Messiah? Well, I just say, make clear the ways, make clear the highway. What does that mean, biblically speaking, to a Jewish person? What time of year is it? It's earlier than spring. It's February. If I say clear the way, clear the streets to a Jewish person, what time of year is it? It's February. I'm about to. Anybody recall? It's probably about a year, I think about a year ago. It could have been 2 years. I don't remember off the top of my head. Nehemiah Gordon published a comment, which I thought was funny. I knew it was true, but it's just funny. That he's a rabbinical priesthood, anti-calendarism, should be done strictly by what you see in the sky, what the plants grow on the ground. That's his philosophy in life, more power to him, whatever. The one thing he did state, his biggest pet peeve, was that the high priests and the priests in general, when they looked outside to declare when the first month was going to show up, they would look at the streets, look at the mud. If it was too muddy, they say the way is not clear because the rains came too late and the ground's still muddy. We have to clear the way of the streets, clear the paths, or postpone it another month. It only happens in February that they make that assessment. So make straight paths, clear the way, the highway of the Lord. The high priests doing it for not only the foreigners who are traveling large distances, but for the high priests themselves who have to travel from one point to another point and don't want to get their clothes all dirty because they just have them nice, wonderfully clean, as required by the law. They cannot get dirt on them or mud on them. So, depends on how late the rains are, dictate whether or not they postpone Passover a month or whether they say, clear the streets, clear the way, make straight, clean up the highways. There's a reason Elijah is supposed to show up during Passover time. That's what his job is. Clear the way. Make straight the paths. Turn the people. Bring them in. Call them in. Just like the high priest is supposed to do. He makes that assessment. In February. Or last month of the year. I call it February because it's really not February. February, March, reality. But they don't use our calendar system. So the last hint that we received was Elijah and what his task is to make straight the paths. That's the high priest's job, to determine if the paths need to be straightened or not. Just before Passover. That's just what actually occurred. Not that the Torah says that's what the priest is supposed to do. That's just what actually happened. That's what they did for hundreds of years. Now, there were a few gaps here and there, obviously, through sin and transgression. But that's what they did. They determined, are the streets too muddy? Can the travelers make it? Yes or no? That tells us what? If Elijah's supposed to show up at Passover time, because that's his job, to bring the people to God, just like Passover's job is, the symbolism of Passover, to bring the people to God, to make their sins wash away, where they don't matter anymore. To let them see, hey, God wants you to come to Him. Make straight the paths. That's Elijah's job, and it's supposed to happen at Passover time. What time of year is his father serving? 9 months earlier. 9 months before Passover. June. Well, that determines exactly when Zacharias was serving. He wasn't his December cycle, because that would make Elijah or John the Baptist show up 6 months off schedule. There's a reason we still open the door at Passover and open up the door to look for Elijah to remind us. This is what we're supposed to do. This is what tells us these stories. It tells us the cycle. It tells us what we're supposed to pay attention to. John the Baptist was born in the springtime. I'm not telling you the day of the week he was born. I don't care. He could have been born the first day of that year. He could have been born a month later. We have a whole month window. Women's cycle, roughly 28 days, give or take. We don't know when Elizabeth's cycle happens to be, when Zacharias ended his service. But at some point, probably within that month, that gives a month window for Elijah. I'm not saying he was born on a given day. Probably was, but I'm saying he actually was. Messiah's 6 months older. What was that? Younger. Sorry, thank you. I apologize. 6 months younger. In fall? Is it, did he land, was he born on Sukkot? How should I know? If the Bible wanted that information given, it would have published it. And what would have happened? We would, like I opened up with, we would have commercialized the daylights out of it, lost the whole meaning, and pretended it, you wouldn't even identify the fact he existed. Yes, Carrie.
If everybody knew what day it was and which feast it was, then why would they be looking forward to the feast again?
They wouldn't be looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Most of what she was saying did not get caught on tape, but it was essentially that if he was born, and everybody knew what day of the week or holiday he was born on, let's say it was Sukkot or whatever, it doesn't make any difference, and it was known, people would no longer be looking forward to anything. That they would be believed or interpreted that, well, since he was born on Sukkot, thus he fulfilled Sukkot. There's nothing in the future to look forward to. Rather depressing, but nothing in the future to look forward to. If they knew what day of the week he was born, or if they knew whether he was born on a particular high day, they'd assume, oh, since he was born then, thus it fulfilled that holiday, let's move on. Well, that wasn't the case. He may have been, but it just wasn't published. So we have a mystery. We have things to look forward to. I could go through all the rest of the divisions, but they're really not that important as far as who serves what days. But by the way, you have, and I just want to tie up this one last loose end. Since it appears, for all practical purposes, for the Bible's concern, Messiah was born in fall, given the few hints that Luke, also slash Peter, gave us. Abijah, Zacharias serving during his division. The John is 6 months older than the Messiah. And he's out of the spirit of Elijah. And the task of Elijah, which is already commonly known, places John born roughly around Passover time. Messiah born sometime in the early seventh month, give or take. Which would be sometime during now. Last loose end. The priesthood, like I said, would turn up to 24 parts. There were 4 weeks that everybody served. They all served during Passover. They all served during Shavuot. They all served 2 weeks during Sukkot. And the fall feasts, because they're all back-to-back. It wasn't 2 back-to-back weeks, but they didn't serve 2 weeks in this month. That's all. I have anything else to tell you about it. It's just interesting to always refresh our memories, to remind us that the Bible gives us just enough information to know approximately when he was born, but more importantly, when he was not born. Helps us distinguish what is right and what is wrong. What we should do, what God intends for us to do, versus what God does not want us to do. Any questions or comments before I call it quits? Yes, Gary.
So do you have anything to say as far as Hanukkah, you know, a great thing happened here, and does that fit in, or can you explain that?
Hanukkah was addressed by Jeff, which he is not here right now, a little bit. That, to me, as far as I can tell, with the given information from the Maccabees that was, and Habakkuk and a few other locations, Hanukkah was a pre-planned event that happened spontaneously. I know it sounds kind of backwards. You can't do that. But it is. God planned in advance something was going to happen on the 24th day of the ninth month. Just nobody knew what it was. Had no clue. It didn't happen. But nobody knew what happened because it was recorded that it would happen in Habakkuk 100-plus years before it actually occurred. No one knew about it. What a bizarre thing. Okay, he just randomly chose the 24th day of the ninth month. Something's going to happen. Okay, whatever, Habakkuk. Well, then the Maccabees showed up. And they missed Sukkot. Like they weren't supposed to miss Sukkot, but they missed it. They didn't have time. Nothing was ready. They had to wait. Nothing's happening. Yeah, that's true. Nothing's happening. Nothing in September. It just wasn't ready. So what'd they do? Well, guess what happened? 2 months, 2.5 months later. They celebrated Sukkot. 2.5 months late at the end of the ninth month. Thus, something important did happen there. Seemingly innocuous events that just happened to fall together to land something important, Hanukkah, which we observe today, which is nothing more than an extension of Sukkot in its core definition, but for some reason was pre-planned and predestined by God hundreds of years before it actually occurred, that something important was going to happen in Hanukkah. What was that? Well, let's figure out what happens. Hanukkah is the end of the ninth month. 1, 2, 3. Skip a few, 9 months later, Sukkot. So, it is conceivable, very conceivable, that, not to use a pun, but it is kind of fun, it is a pun, that the Messiah was conceived during Hanukkah. It is, there's no argument, it is highly possible that's when he was conceived. Because something important was supposed to happen on the 24th day of the ninth month. I believe it was called the stone which the builders rejected, was supposed to happen. What stone would that be? I'll leave it at that.